and then go and try to search for that knowledge. A very intriguing lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, the program To My Brother. I'm Atta, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم فاستجب دعائي واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master, and my Lord. Welcome, my friends. Keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the folly, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء قدير.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that is the universal aspect of his personality. You know, when Josh Malihabadi talks about Imam Hussein, where he says, let the humanity reach to its maturity, its consciousness. You know, let the humanity reach to its consciousness, then all nation in the world will say Hussein belongs to us. I would like to slightly change that. That is equally applicable on Ali. Let the humanity reach to that level of understanding based on its pure conscience, they will come to realize that Ali belongs to everyone and at all the time. This is how Ali, as Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifat al-Muslimin, head of the Muslim Empire, what do we do with our own people? How do we treat non-Muslims who are with us? How do we treat with our own Shias who speak a language other than ours, who come from a cultural background which is different from ours? If we are true Shia of Ali, we should imbibe the sense of justice for which Amir al-Mu'mineen gave up his life also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among his loyal and true followers and implement this sense of justice in our lives in all dimensions.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I'm your host, Zainab Askari. Well, we have heard about the events of Karbala and women who had played important role in it. But there's a question that whether women before the moment of Karbala, were there women during the Karbala, we know that, but were there women post-Karbala and what was their role? We got to talk about all that in our studio with Siddiqa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me today. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Siddiqa. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. A very warm welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so we discussed about the role of women before Karbala, in Karbala, and post-Karbala. Now, Siddiqa, since you discussed all those roles, every single role, had so many lessons. I would want you to tell us a few of lessons that we actually learned from these roles of women in Karbala.
Yes, so if we go back, like I mentioned in one of the previous episodes, when Hazrat Zainab was mounting the ladies on the camels, yeah, it signifies the importance they give for hijab, even in times of difficulty. Now, I understand today the environment is very difficult. I'm not belittling people's struggles with the hijab. But when you're going through a struggle with the hijab, go back to Hazrat Zainab. Look at how she struggled. Even in the most difficult of environments, she keeps her hijab intact. It is true, according to the authors of this book, Maqtal al-Jama', it's written in Farsi under the guidance of Ayatollah Ray Shahri.
Okay.
They say that the hijab that was snatched from the women post-Karbala was what is equivalent to the Iranian chador that we wear today.
Okay.
In Qom. Those who haven't seen it, you can just Google what an Iranian chador looks like. Yeah. And this is what was snatched from there. But this in itself was very heavy for them, for these women. Because these women were the epitome of chastity.
Okay.
So when you're going through a struggle with the hijab, when your friends are around you, you know, peer pressure is very difficult. We've all lived through these stages in life. Just go back to Hazrat Zainab and see how she went through these struggles, putting Allah in front of everything. You know, it is said when they were in Kufa.
So basically clearing her of any one of the doubts that is often seen over here, or that so many nohas are written over it. When I met Arabs for the first time and I saw Arabs, different kinds of Arabs, like Arabs from anywhere, I saw them. I saw their hijab. They put on a very long, what is called as abaya kind of thing. And then over that abaya, they put on this chador, what we have in Iran. So what was snatched actually was this outer,
yes,
chador.
Just the outer layer.
Because Imam had promised her that it won't be...
Your honor will be saved.
True.
Your honor's not going to go.
Sure.
And I do understand, you know what, I will put one point here, which might not be very related to our topic. But what is unfortunate is that that people belittle the events of Karbala by ascribing lies to the Ahlul Bayt. They want to make people understand the history of Karbala. You know, they rely on the hadith that say, if you make people cry, you will go to paradise. But the hadith doesn't say you make people cry by lying
changing
about
the history.
Yes, because ascribing lies to the Ahlul Bayt is such a great sin that if you are fasting, your fast becomes invalid.
True.
And these people who ascribe lies to the Ahlul Bayt think they're doing a favor,
yeah,
but what they're in fact doing is creating their own hellfire.
All right.
Right? Do not change history. History is not here to be changed. So now we go back, when we're talking about the
It's okay to talk about the tragedies, but you cannot change the history.
Not change the history. Don't put your own, you know, spices into this history.
Exactly.
The tragedy of Karbala is so tragic, we do not need lies to it, added to it. Right?
It's already brutal and tragic in itself. We don't need to add more
spices.
But it
is also a story of love. True. Love for the Wali of Allah. Let's focus on those topics. Let's focus on understanding the importance of the Wali of Allah. The one who Allah has chosen to represent him on, who is a manifestation of Allah.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the truth, not on the lies.
Yeah. So talking more about the roles, talking more about the lessons, we will get back to that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. We're talking about the lessons we learned from the role of women in Karbala.
So focusing on the hijab aspect itself, when Hazrat Zainab refused to let the army of Umar Asad touch the women, and instead she herself mounted them on the camels when they were getting ready to be taken to Kufa. Now we fast forward towards Kufa itself. Sahal ibn Sa'd was one of the companions of the Prophet who was there in Kufa. He sees the family of the Prophet being brought in. He goes to Fatima Sughra. We mentioned her before a few times.
Yeah.
He tells her, I'm the companion of the Prophet. Tell me, what can I do for you? She tells him, you know that man carrying the head of our father, Imam Hussein? Tell him to go forward so people's eyes go on him and do not turn towards us.
Okay.
To protect her hijab, they're finding different ways. Again, this signifies how much importance they gave to hijab.
Yeah.
These women, well, like I mentioned, they were the epitome of chastity. For them, they understood that hijab is a role. I'm not belittling other people's struggles with the hijab, but like I said, when you're feeling yourself struggling with the hijab, go back and look at history and see how people fought to save this hijab. Whatever others may say about it, whatever they might try to bring it forward as an oppressive statement. Now, over here, we're discussing only the women's hijab. We're not focusing on the men's hijab because this is a women's program.
Yeah.
But whenever you're going through the struggles, go back, have a look at history and see how we can learn from history and how much importance what was given up to protect this hijab for me and you to wear it today. Then we can go on the other
lessons that we can learn.
You know, when Imam Hussein was leaving for the battle, he tells Hazrat Zainab, do not say anything that will bring down your status. What he's basically telling her is that don't use words that will bring down your status. Hazrat Zainab complies with this, even if you see her sermon. Her sermon was very powerful, but she didn't use any swear words. You know, every time we go through, when we are angry at a person, I think we can fire a line of 5, 6, 7 swears. Over here, she's minding her tongue. These are people who have killed her brother. You know, he is her brother, even if he's an imam.
Yeah.
They have killed her brother in front of her. She's witnessed it. But nowhere through her sermon do we see her using swear words.
True.
And this is how she maintained her tongue. And we need to learn that when we are talking to people, there is a way to talk. We do not need to employ...
Ethics.
Yes, we do not need to employ words that Allah has forbidden us to use.
Yeah.
There's no need to swear. We can use other words that put our meaning forward without using words that tomorrow on the Day of Judgment is going to come and, you know, take us closer to that hellfire that we've been trying to avoid, basically. That's another lesson that we can learn. One more lesson I'd like to indicate. Again, I go back to Hazrat Zainab because her life is very extensive.
True.
Before Imam Hussain leaves, he wills to her, whenever you recite Salatul Layl, remember me. This in itself is an indication that Hazrat Zainab, throughout the journey, wherever she was constant in her mustahabat and her wajibat. Even Salatul Layl. Even if she's traveling through the most really difficult situations, she does not forget that namaz is that pillar of religion that she's going to keep hold on to.
Sure.
Even in some cases, we do know that she's had to sit down and pray the namaz because she was extremely weak because of what had happened. And she sat down, but she didn't leave her namaz. It's unfortunate today, you know, our children get sick, right? They've reached the stage of maturity. Namaz is wajib on them.
Yeah.
But we tell them, it's okay. You know, one namaz you leave, you can do qadha of it. No, don't teach your children to leave the namaz.
True.
You're sick. Make them, you know, help them to pray. Don't teach them to leave that namaz. Because tomorrow they're going to find excuses like that man found excuses when he wanted to take the anklets of
Fatima Sughra.
Justification. Do not allow the justification to enter the tarbiyah of your children, to enter the upbringing of your children.
True.
Today you justified for them, tomorrow they will justify it for themselves.
Exactly.
But then you have to answer on the Day of Judgment that I taught my child the wrong lesson in life.
Yeah. I'll be talking to you after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. We're talking about the lessons we learn from the roles of women in Karbala.
So yes, we were talking about the importance of namaz. You see, namaz has been given this importance of as being the pillar of religion. If your namaz is correct, you will see yourself not sinning through the day.
Exactly.
And we know that Hazrat Zainab never left her prayers. None of the Ahlul Bayt left the prayers.
I mean, Siddiqa, just look at this. I mean, when we go through some tragic event, a very simple, like not as tragic as Karbala, like nothing has happened like that to us. But still, if somebody's father dies or somebody very close dies and the person is broken, and then people do not even remember the wajib namaz. They don't even remember the obligatory prayers.
Forget the mustahabat, exactly. They don't even remember the wajib that they have to do.
Exactly. So, like, And they have, like, as you rightly mentioned, that they are justifications. They're just, no, just don't pressurize the person. He's gone through such a big tragic event and all that. So we have justifications ready. And Imam Hussain al-Islam is telling his sister, remember me in your night prayers.
Because he knows she's going to pray it. He knows that she never missed her Salatul Layl.
But how could she do it? I mean, she's weak. She does not have enough strength. She has gone through so many tragic events. She has not seen one person dying. She has seen all the companions. She has got beaten.
She was also at the head of Imam Hussain when he was being killed. When Imam Hussain was being killed, she was there at his side. She goes out. She tells Umar Asad, are you going to see my brother being killed? Are you going to see the son of the Prophet being murdered in front of you and do nothing about it? She saw her two sons, her cousins, her nephews, her brother. Then she's whipped after that. And yet she doesn't forget her namaz. And this comes back to the upbringing her father and her mother gave her.
Okay. So upbringing actually plays a very important role.
Very important role. A lot of the times we'll allow our children to justify the behavior. But it's okay, you know, he's just become baligh. He's just gained maturity. You know, he can't
still a child.
Yeah, he can't do fajr. Leave it. Well, you know, you do qadha, it's okay. Yeah. You know, you can pray it later. No, don't justify it for your child. Let them see that if you justify it, they will justify it later. And we see these, even Imam Hussein, we know this. And we see on the day of Ashura, the arrows being fired at his tent. And they recite namaz while the arrows are being fired at them. And we have a line of companions who stay at the last line and they take the arrows while the imam is praying namaz.
Okay.
And these people understood the role of prayers. And this is why they were able to go with Imam Hussein. That's okay. The thing, right?
Yeah.
Because their prayers helps them understand. Like we have a salatu mi'raj mu'min. Salah is
something that takes a believer to mi'raj.
The higher levels, the higher realms.
True.
And this is what their salah was on the higher realms.
Inshallah, I'll discuss more about the role of women with you in coming sessions. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the Love One?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Yani?
Bazaar.
The construction industry has continuously had a series of revolutions throughout history. Technological advancements have influenced the construction sector too, from durable concrete in ancient structures to smart windows that automatically open and close based on light exposure. Some materials evolved with time, others are new to the industry and address natural disasters while reflecting changing lifestyles and environmental values. Still, other materials are born out of a need to reduce construction costs. In a nutshell, structures and their materials are the building blocks of society and economic expansion. Hello everyone, Ali Reza here, welcoming you to a brand new edition of Bazaar. This week, we are taking you on a journey through Iran's mammoth building construction industry while highlighting some of the country's recent developments in this sector. Plus, we will check out its market as a whole and the construction industry's contributions to the national economy. So, let's get started. To understand the enormity of the construction industry, we visited the 22nd Annual International Building and Construction Exhibition in Tehran. Because the exhibition was sprawled over nearly 4 hectares of land, one day is not nearly enough for visitors to see the entire expo, so it ran for 3 days. This exhibition is one of the most important events in its industry. We caught up with a few companies at the exhibit to see what they were offering. Our first stop was at a booth held by a company that makes ceramic tiles. They also export their products to numerous countries. Next, we stopped by a company specializing in manufacturing faucets and kitchen and bathroom attachments. It also purchases most of its raw materials from inside the country. Like many we have seen at the event, this company has created many job opportunities directly and indirectly. Plus, it uses the latest machinery to make high-quality products that compete with foreign brands. Now, many might not think twice about it, but Iran's faucet and fixture production have been booming. So we spoke with another company that has been exporting these items for years. Industry participants say this year's Building Expo was much larger than last year's, meaning that Iran's construction industry has expanded in recent years, displaying the country's various existing and emerging capabilities in the field. Statistics show that last year some 900 domestic companies participated in the event. Also, foreign companies were present, offering their goods and services. This year's exhibit hosted hundreds of foreign companies from Germany, Australia, Turkey, China, Spain, Italy, South Korea, and Malaysia, just to name a few. A wealth of products were showcased at the expo, from road and construction equipment to stones, sanitary supplies, heating and cooling systems, lifts and elevators, and so much more. Rarely has any industry offered so much versatility and variety of products as the construction industry. Events like this one offer a platform for the exchange of ideas, examining markets and opportunities for collaboration to create new products needed in the market. Next, we stopped by a display for a company specializing in making various inset kitchen products. We asked them about their goods and approach to challenges posed by the US sanctions. Walking through the exhibit, we ran into a company that makes metal fittings for stairs, windows, and areas that require spatial separations. All things considered, the construction sector has been significant for the Iranian economy. The sector is divided into 2 main parts: government infrastructure projects and the housing industry. The construction industry has been thriving due to national and international investment to the extent that it is now one of the largest in the West Asia region. This sector suffered a lot after the US withdrew from the 2015 deal and reimposed sanctions against Iran. These measures choked construction materials imports. As a result, the steady flow of things like metals to Iran was seriously hampered and eventually halted altogether. But despite the bans, this industry continues to grow and is also one of the few that exports services to other countries. Based on the Association of Iranian Exports of Technical and Engineering Services, Iran currently has the potential to export engineering services worth $40 billion annually. The country already exports these services to countries around the Caspian Sea, its bordering neighbors, South and Central America, North Africa, and South Asia. Some construction projects include sewage treatment plants, dams, and energy plants. According to the Ministry of Industry, Mining, and Trade, Iran is self-sufficient in construction material production. Steel, glass, and cement are abundantly produced in the country. Moreover, the surplus of these items is exported to countries worldwide. Government officials say they have plans to expand exports to Iran's trade partners, including China and Russia. For example, the Ministry of Industry, Mine and Trade says it plans to sell upwards of $3 billion worth of construction materials to Russia alone. As a whole, the government views the construction sector as a feasible alternative for generating foreign revenues and diversifying the country's economy away from oil profits. Alright, now it's time to check out this week's special feature of Bazaar. So let's see where Sarah has been this past week.
In an ever-increasing technology-driven world, city streets are becoming more and more congested than ever before, while connected and autonomous technologies in vehicles are also on the rise. Such safety concerns pose a significant challenge for city planners and traffic engineers to improve mobility, safety, and efficient use of roadways now and in the future. When you are driving to work, or especially going on a road trip, you need to be fully alert to avoid the hidden cameras all across the road from catching you or costing you a damage. Well, sometimes this can be really irritating, but have you ever thought of the significant impacts they have in the most challenging situations? Today, we decided to take you to a company active in the field of intelligent transportation system in Sharif University of Technology. Let's go check it out. With creating intelligent transportation systems, the research and development team of the students in Sharif University of Technology has created a smart traffic software for processing related information. These smart systems are mounted beside or over the roads to detect motoring offenses, including speeding, vehicles going through a red traffic light, vehicles going through a toll booth without paying, or for recording vehicles inside a congestion charge area. All these violations are detected 24/7 using traffic data analysis system.
We as Kanek Group started to work around 10 years ago here in Electronic Research Institute in Sharif University of Technology. Back then, our main expertise was focused on image processing and embedded systems and also IoT devices for smart cities and buildings. Our products are all knowledge-based and divide into three main categories. The first one is machine vision and embedded systems. The other part of the products are based on IoT or Internet of Things products. And the third one is the big data analysis and data mining. These products are all implemented on a secure and highly customized Linux operating system. Another line of our products are based on IoT devices, such as the smart gateways and actuators. We have exported these products to two foreign countries, and also the third line of our products are based on data mining and big data analysis. These softwares and products are mainly used in road maintenance and transportation organization and also some major municipality offices. These softwares helps a lot in extracting useful patterns out of millions and billions data in traffic control centers and help managers and also managers and experts in traffic control sensors to extract practical and beneficial data from these smart cameras or sensors throughout the city.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, this intelligent software was created for the smart camera system. When it comes to cameras, we have various kinds of traffic enforcement cameras, such as speed violation detection camera, red light camera, road safety camera, and so many more for plate detection. But that's not all. This company also creates IoT devices or Internet of Things. These are intelligent gateway camera systems for buildings and image processing with the aim of providing a better living environment for people and reducing energy consumption. Alright, now it's time to take a closer look at the smart camera system and see how it works. There are thousands of smart camera systems all across the country that actually function with the software created in this company. Now, let's take a look at one of the smart camera systems created in this company. Well, just like human, this smart system is created and is made of eyes, and if we delve inside, it's also made of a powerful brain. Well, the eye of this system is the industrial camera, which is created in different versions depending on the geographic location of the camera. For example, the one we have here has been created with a hardware design that protects against a heat wave. Anyway, this camera captures the images from the front side of this smart system and sends these images to the processing board, which functions as the brain part of this smart system. And finally, the data is transmitted from the intelligent software of the smart system to the traffic control centers all across the city.
The Connect Group was founded in some 8 years ago, I think. And the main focus of the group was on smart cutting-edge smart technologies. For example, in machine vision, machine learning, artificial intelligence, data analytics, Internet of Things, and stuff like that. Later on, we use these technologies in more specific areas, for example, in intelligent transportation systems and various aspects of smart cities, like smart buildings, smart automation, and we have other countries around us that they are interested in some of our products. Our main goal for the future is to actually connect all the intelligent aspects of the city together. For example, if you have something smart in the in a villa or in an apartment, we connect it to the road, we connect it to the work office, and all these things all together to for one brain actually to decide for the optimization and improvement of several aspects of the these systems.
Employing the latest smart technologies as well as artificial intelligence, this company focuses on smart city and smart buildings, and ultimately it aims at city management without human involvement. Presently, their products are available in almost 17 provinces in Iran. Traffic technologies continue to evolve and scale into solutions in mega cities. Finally, this paves the way to optimizing traffic flow and improving efficiency and safety on the roads. Well, there is no way to violate the traffic rules. The latest technologies in the modern world today, including the smart camera system, can detect and improve the wrong behaviors of drivers in the society. And by the end of the day, they can create a smarter, safer, and more sustainable transportation ecosystem. I've been Sarah Dema, and I'll see you next time.
We are getting close to the end of the program, but before we go, let's check out some news and trends in the construction industry and beyond. Iran is known for its creative experts in the field of engineering, so it is no surprise that last year the country exported technical and engineering services valued at nearly $2 billion.
That's based on Iran's Trade Promotion Organization. These services were sent to countries in Southeast Asia, North Africa, and neighboring regions. For example, 57 major infrastructural projects were carried out by dozens of Iranian companies in Iraq alone. Furthermore, the organization says with more planning and resources, the country can quickly increase exports of technical and engineering services to $20 million annually. In the last 15 years, Iran has taken on some 900 construction projects in 21 countries worth $32 billion. Unconventional use of construction material. An Iranian architect has transformed a widely used construction material into a unique form of window. It is a type of spectacled brick that is a solid block with a circular aperture at its core which filters in the light. The architect says the high density of buildings and city regulations in Tehran has limited sunlight exposure in office and commercial buildings. The developer explains the special brick in this project allows sunlight penetration even in parts of the building where windows are not permitted by city codes. Additionally, these unique windows can be adjusted to closed or open positions to optimize daylight exposure. The advantage of this brick is that it can absorb less air pollution and help filter out the noise from the motorways. Increasing market reach. And let's conclude with Iran's efforts to expand its market reach and trade of goods with its neighbors. The country is organizing 6 exhibitions in the Qatari capital, Doha, that will be held during this year's FIFA World Cup event. 5 exhibitions will introduce Iranian handcrafts, such as hand-woven carpets, home decorations, and much more. Additionally, 1 will be held for construction materials and technical engineering services. This is significant for increasing bilateral relations and trade between the two nations. Government officials also say a direct shipping line has been launched between Iran and Qatar to help with the transportation and distribution of goods. That wraps up our program for today. Also, if you have a topic that you're interested in, you can send us your thoughts and suggestions via email. We always enjoy hearing from you. On behalf of the entire team, thank you for tuning in and take care. And bye-bye. Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. I am your host, Abdullah Al Musawi. The second key of life that we need to have, and it is an absolutely essential to our success in this world and in the next world, is seeking knowledge. Now, before, the first key was to contemplate and reflect. Now is to seek knowledge itself. Life itself would not have moved, and humanity would have not developed, and we would have not advanced in the way we are now if it wasn't for knowledge. And sadly, sometimes we see that the knowledge we have and the things that we have is made by the few. As humanity, if we look at it as a whole, we could have done so much work. Give you an example. Now we have millions of youth who have full active minds, who have full active bodies. And instead of putting this activity and this energy in trying to change the world, in fact, they're sitting behind PCs and behind consoles and playing games. And I was looking at some scary statistics in this regard, where they said only a few hours of playtime that the youth do online, they could, with that amount of time, with that amount of manpower, they could build civilization in a matter of days. And that's just crazy in a sense to see that we are just wasting our energy. So what I'm trying to say here is, whatever we have today is the action of few, not the action of many. So when we look at electricity, for example, was an invention of one man. When you look at, for example, building houses or building cars or, you know, all the things that we have, usually you find one person invented it and then just kept developing itself. So we need, all of us, we need to seek knowledge and put it into action and try to advance ourselves and advance the human beings around us as well. And obviously we'll reap the rewards in this world, and we'll also reap the rewards in the hereafter. From here, we look at the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim, and they talk about the importance of seeking knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, you have to be in two states, either seeking knowledge or being knowledgeable yourself. So you have no other option. Either you are a scholar and giving knowledge, or you are seeking knowledge. And he says, I warn you, and this is to me and to you from the word of the prophets himself. And he says, do not be a person who wastes his time in vain and in entertainment and seeking pleasure. Lahiyan, just wasting time, entertaining yourself. Mutaladdidan, and just going after your desires. Now, these two would make a human being below animals. The first two will make a human being below the angels. Let us take a short break, then we continue, inshallah.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree,
امام اونطوری که این رو گفته برم گفته دی اون امامشو گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره، همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatih al-Hayat, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the importance of seeking knowledge. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, he says, when it comes to knowledge, you have to go out of your way and do not stop at a point, even if it means you have to seek knowledge from people who you do not deem appropriate or good. For example, he says, take wisdom even from non-Muslims. Because non-Muslims are human beings in the end of the day. They have brains, they have active minds, they have good things. So we take the wisdom from them. Not the teaching of Islam. There's a different thing. Because sometimes people confuse the teachings of Islam with wisdom. When it comes to the teachings of my Islam and of my faith, I have to take it from the right sources. But when it comes to wisdom and information, general information, I can take it even from the mushrikeen. And even Amir al-Mu'mineen, he moves on a step further and he says, خُذِ الْحِكْمَةِ, take wisdom, even if it is from the mouths of those who are considered to be what? Insane and crazy. Because sometimes the crazy people, they say things and they do things that even me and you sometimes do not think of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, he's trying to teach us a lesson by such a thing. So Islam emphasizes so much on the importance of knowledge and the importance of seeking knowledge. And if we apply this method of Islam and this teaching of Islam, we would definitely advance. If you look back in history, you see that the most advanced nation, in fact, was Islam. During the golden, as they called the golden age, Islam was the most advanced. But sadly, we went backwards. And most of the inventions that we have today was actually invented by Muslims. The optics, the engine, movement, the time, everything was an Islamic invention. But we stopped sadly because we decided to go towards pleasures and desires and wasting time and entertainment rather than seeking knowledge. Let us take a short break and we continue right after. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life. We are talking about the importance of seeking knowledge. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says, عليك بالعلم والأدب. Go, learn, seek knowledge and morality. Why, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? Why should I seek knowledge and morality? He says, فَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ يُكَرَّمْ. For the scholar is glorified. وَإِن لَمْ يُنْتَسِبْ. Even if he had no lineage. If you're a scholar, if you're an alim, if you're giving back to the world, you'll be glorified by everybody. وَإِن كَانَ فَقِيرًا. Even if he was what? Poor. وَيُكَرَّمْ وَإِن كَانَ حَدَثًا. And he is glorified and respected, even if he's young. If you have knowledge, if you have akhlaq, morals, then you will be respected and honored by everybody, whether you are poor, whether you have no lineage, or whether you are young. And you can see that in our daily life today. those who succeed and exceed and excel in their fields of knowledge, regardless of where they come from or their color or their race, people start to respect them and give them the adequate honor and respect that they deserve. And they get medals and they get, you know, trophies and so on and so forth. So we need to seek knowledge just like we've been told by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We'll leave it here and we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, take care of yourselves. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children scream.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRabi English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali.